I'm speaking less to Turing than the interest in Turing. And I'm struck that so many people are fascinated by him. And it's their fascination which is actually the topic of my paper, thinking about the case of Turing as a subject of the history of sexuality, but also a subject of collective memory making, and what do those two ways of thinking about the past have in common, and but also how they're different.
Of course, looking back, he was pivotal in the Allies winning the war, but we only knew this relatively recently.
There are many biographies out on Turing. There are some histories which are emphasizing those war years, and I think his Bletchley Park moment is still really captivating. As a matter of fact, there's a new film coming out called The Imitation Game, which will focus, I think, exclusively on this Bletchley Park moment. So that's something I speak about very briefly, because I'm more interested in looking at his sort of his last couple of years when he's following his arrest and his trial and then his death.
Of course, with 21st century eyes, it all seems inexplicable, but this happened so much, so frequently to gay men and women at the time.
Yes, well, I opened the paper with thinking about the inquest and raised some questions about the way the coroner leaps to a judgment of what it was that, you know, led to Turing's demise. And then I start to bring up other theories. You know, did he commit suicide? Was he a victim of accidental death? Or was his death the result of murder by assassination? There are so many theories. And again, my interest is more historiographical, which is what's at stake in our becoming invested in particular ways of thinking about how and why he died, and why is that such a contested aspect of this story of Alan Turing?
Why do you think it is so interesting today?
I think it's because it's irresolvable, and so it opens up a space for people to begin to sort of theorize and mythologize and fill in their own way of dealing with the Turing story and the meaning of the Turing story. The collective memory or the collective memorialization of Turing usually is an advocate of the suicide angle. But with the royal pardon that came out on December 24th, Peter Tatchell, the gay activist, is now calling on the intelligence services to release the documents about the case to try to put paid to this story that he was actually assassinated. So it's interesting, the mysteries, I think that's what's interesting, and the irresolvability of how this man's life came to an end.
You're a university academic. Do you find students are as interested in this as you are?
Yes, and I often use this particular life as a way to draw students in. It's really easy because Turing was a mathematician and computer scientist at the University of Manchester. Our School of Mathematics is housed in the Alan Turing Building, and one of the very famous commemorative statues of Turing is in the heart of the gay village in Manchester. So on the first day of class, I send them into town and have them go take a look at this statue. And that encourages them to begin to think about the past and how the past is all around them in the present. So I mean, Alan Turing was arrested or picked up the man that led to his arrest right there on the Oxford Road, which is where the university is. So it feels like, you know, the distance between past and present really narrows right there in the heart of Manchester.
And it's so sad to think he achieved a great deal, but what could he have achieved had he lived?
Well, I was just giving a version of this paper in the U.S., and a physicist came up to me afterwards and said that it was very plausible to her that he might have committed suicide. And I said, why? And she said, because everyone knows that physicists and mathematicians peak at about age 40, and they know that they will never be as come have any huge intellectual breakthroughs after that point. And it, she said, it's very plausible to me that he realized all his greatness was now behind him and that he didn't have anything else to live for. So that was just one other, you know, maybe it, in his early 40s, that was it, and he knew it.
Sounds like an entirely new area of research.
Yeah, that's probably something that the historian of science needs to interrogate.